Welcome to the Money Tree Real Estate Investor Podcast, where we learn from real estate professionals across the industry. They will share about how they got into real estate, the big wins they have celebrated, the mistakes they have made along the way, and the advice they have for anyone following in their footsteps. Money really does grow on trees. Hey, everybody. It's William Holland here for another episode of the Money Tree Real Estate Investor Podcast. I've got a special guest today, Jim Lee. He is from Taiwan, and I know he loves to travel. Jim, tell us a little bit about growing up in Taiwan and some of your favorite places that you've been to around the world so far.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Jim. I was born and raised in Taiwan till I was 11 years old, and then I immigrated to America. My parents sacrificed their life to bring us over here to give us an opportunity to achieve the American dream. Some of the places that I like to travel to is Brazil. I've been there twice. Been over South America, Ecuador, Brazil, Mexico, Belize, Central America, Panama, all those areas, and pretty much all over Asia. So love to just explore what's out there.
Oh yeah, that's so cool. And I know we talked about it before, but I actually got to go to Taiwan in 2019, and I turned 23 over there. So man, that's a beautiful country. Great food, great people. Fell in love with dumplings, so it's a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. We offer very unique, diverse culture, and we're known for our street foods out there, nightlife. And so, you just have to go out there and explore. And you brought up a good point when you said a beautiful country, because Formosa, my company name, that's what it's named after, the beautiful island by the Portuguese back in 1500. So when Taiwanese recognize, when they see Formosa, they automatically recognize name, and that's my brand.
Hey, I like that a lot, man. One last funny story about when I was in Taiwan. So I was in Kaohsiung. That's obviously a mid-sized to big city, and the Dallas Mavericks were playing the Lakers, Los Angeles Lakers. It was a live game. It was a night game, and we were watching it with one of the cabbies, in person live, at like noon, on a weekday. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Must be fun. You can also bring your own beverage for most restaurants. They allow you to do that without any mortgage fee. So you can save some money there.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's cool. So, man, walk us through kind of how you got into real estate, a little bit of your background. So you graduated from UCLA. What'd you study, and what was your first job out of college?
I study economics, and the first job out of my out of college, I started my career as an inside sales representative for LoopNet. So for those people that don't know, LoopNet is basically Zillow for commercial real estate. And through LoopNet, I learned, basically the importance of having multiple streams of income by talking to, real estate investors, agent, property manager, lenders on a daily basis, pick their brains. And that's when I decided to pursue real estate and acquire my first 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom condo.
Yeah. So what was that experience like? You bought your first property, you paid cash from what I understand as well. Walk us through that.
Yeah. So again, I was born and raised in Taiwan, and with the saver's mentality, that's how I was raised by my parents. In Asian culture, we've been taught if you can't afford something in cash, if you can't pay for something in cash, you can't afford it. So in our mind, debt is slavery and cash is freedom, which runs counter to the heavy debt and consumerism culture in America, right? So I actually was just living in my bubble, was being comfortable, and I didn't think the need to have to ever borrow money, ever get any debt, And so until after I acquired this 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom condo, that's when I started to educate myself more about real estate. And the first book I read was what most people read, the biggest finance book out there, Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And he talks about, the advantage of using debt, leverage, tax write-off and so forth. So that was definitely a bit of a mindset shift for me, but it was a good one because I was able to see the other side of the coin of how to use leverage good debt instead of, always thinking that bad debt is going to take me down.
Absolutely, yeah, and I like that you kind of compared and contrasted that. You know, you went from one end of the spectrum of only wanting to pay cash and never purchasing anything that you couldn't pay cash for, you know, and then talking about the other end of the spectrum where people, you know, are in that consumer mentality and, you know, they're buying like really fancy cars and houses and, you know, they live a lavish lifestyle, but they're really cash poor and lots of debt, you know, with the risk of becoming bankrupt, you know. So I think that both of us, you know, operate and kind of live by the tenets that were discussed within Robert Kiyosaki's book, you know, of utilizing good debt to own and purchase and acquire cash flowing assets. You know, it's really life changing.
Absolutely. And it did take, you know, a while for me to kind of overcome, you know, that mindset of staying comfortable. You just have to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's such a good way to live, man. I like that a lot. Okay, so you did your first deal. What was kind of the next phases after that? How did you become an active syndicator?
So from there, I wanted to just ditch my W-2 job and really start my own career and build my own business. So I got my real estate license and became a realtor, thinking that I can find my own deals, but it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. So, you know, on top of that, I was trying to make a career out of it. So I found out it wasn't a good fit for me either. And during lockdown, I was pretty limited to what I can do as a realtor. So I started to listen to the podcast, you know, educate myself about syndication. And that's how I dabbled into the syndication world. As soon as the lockdown opened up, I went out to network to enjoy mastermind groups and eventually was able to find a business partner and syndicate my first deal.
That's awesome, man. So what did you learn from that first deal? That was last year, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
What did I learn from the first deal? A lot of things, actually. You know, just always have more people to subscribe to your deal than limit the amount of people, right? Because you know, last year, around the time that we closed our deal, it was July of 2022. That was around the time where interest rate was rising, so there was a lot of my investors, they had soft commit to the deal, but they backed out last minute because of the environment, where all the pressure that's being put on investors. So they decided to just sideline with sit with cash. And a lot of my investors also, they have money in stock market, so they didn't want to just take out the money and sell at a loss. So we kind of closed our funds too quickly, and I think we should have raised more money. And in the end, we had to backfill it anyways,
Gotcha.
because yeah. And you're seeing that a lot with a lot of syndication deal out there. You know, some deals, they might not be even be able to pay off the loan, the debt, and so they're just eating the reserves away until it
Yeah,
comes
so
back.
you exactly. Yeah, you just talked about a lot of different things. So I'd like to describe a little bit more about what backfill means. And so ultimately, you can raise, you know, I always try to break things down as, purchasing or acquiring a single family home, because that's easy to understand for most people. You know, so when you buy a single family home, you have a down payment, and that allows you to close. You know, obviously, if you were going to renovate that property, which is similar to the value add business plan that we utilize for our acquisitions, you would then have to have some additional capital come in or have some additional money to be able to renovate that property. And so when you say backfill, that means that you got enough for the down payment. You were able to close and transition to owning the property, but that meant that you did not have enough money in almost like a savings account or in capital reserves to be able to start renovating the property, increasing the rents, and executing the business plan and adding value. And so that's kind of what backfill means. And you also brought up another fact. You said that a lot of properties are not able to pay the debt payment and service the debt on a monthly basis at this point and are eating up cash reserves. So what exactly does that mean?
That means that, when syndicators take over a project, it takes time to stabilize the project, right? When there's new management, typically that's when you'll have more higher turnovers. Not only that, we're also going through the time where it's really difficult to rent, during November, December, Thanksgiving holidays. Nobody's thinking about moving, and so it's going to be difficult to find tenants during that time. So there's like a lot of these variables, right, that's causing your vacancy to your occupancy to be lower at that time. And so our so I'll give you an example. The first deal, our occupancy was at 80%, so it was just eating our cash reserves on a monthly basis. And we had considered capital calls, but luckily, lender was able to reserve some, release some of our reserves. So
Okay.
hopefully that explains a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. So you just mentioned another thing, and we're all about educating investors. So you just said that the lender was able to release some reserves for them. And so to break that down and add a little more clarity, so similar to like mortgage insurance, that is through the lender when I purchased a home, that's where I'm recording right now. So I pay, $20 a month or whatever the value is, that covers the mortgage insurance. And so in a similar way, you're also, in addition to the debt service that's paying down the mortgage and insurance and all of those fixed costs, you're also putting a little bit in, and the lender is requiring that they have a separate bank account that reserves go into, that they can control and only release when they deem fit. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
And so that's an additional safety net, and that's actually helpful for you to see the lender wanting those funds, because that actually gave you guys an opportunity to utilize those funds and not have to go raise additional capital, potentially dilute shares or ownership and returns that for the investors that you guys have on the deal.
Absolutely. Again, we as GPs, our mission is to make sure that our investors as happy as they can be. And to have that, to even have the thought of having a capital call, which is to, raise more capital and dilute the shares, like you mentioned. We just don't want to put that pressure on the investor unless we really have to. If the lender didn't want to provide us with the reserves, then it would just be a capital call amongst the GPs first. That was our plan.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And like you said, man, like you're looking out for the investor first, and it is a lot, it's a large responsibility to raise capital, and it can't be taken lightly.
Passive investors in real estate are able to receive a check every month. Some people call that mailbox money. We say money really does grow on trees. Visit the website at biggerpictureholdings.com, where we have a ton of free resources to help you learn more about planting your very own money tree.
What are some of the things that you've been learning through this experience, and what are some of the advice that you would have for somebody looking to become an active investor?
I would say to some advice I would for it to be an active investor, just basically, change your attitude. I would say for me personally, I would like to change. If I had known better, I would change my attitude about trying new things. Because I used to be very close-minded, and as I get older, I've learned that it's always better to look on the other side of the coin, which I talked about earlier. To me, there are three sides of the coin, right? There's the head, tails, and the edge. If you can stay on the edge, you'll be le learn the most.
That's funny. I like that. I've never heard that before. That's a cool analogy. So I guess, what are some of your next steps moving forward? Where do you see yourself, going this year? What type of things are you working on? How are you growing personally? And then where would you like to be in, the next 5 years?
Yeah, so in the next 5 years, I definitely want to exit some deals. I just started syndicating my first and second deal last year. So I would like to add more units to my portfolio, build more connections. That's why I'm part of this mastermind group that you and I are both in, Raise Master. And you know, I think what I want to achieve from now till 5 years later is definitely be transitioning from having difficulty raising capital to having more capital than deals. And so once I'm at that spot, I have basically mastered how to raise capital, right? So now that I can move on to be an operator, I hopefully by then I'll build enough connection that I'll be able to have more deals, more deal flow just coming in, and you know, I can just be like the next Hunter Thompson instead of just being the operator, just continue to raise capital for the best deals out in the industry.
That's exciting, man. I think that, you know, both of us are starting in this journey. We're on similar trajectories right now and similar stages of our journey. You know, we both did our first big deals last year, and you know, for a lot of people that I talk to, you know, they're like, well, you don't have a lot of experience, you know, or don't have a lot of expertise. And one thing that, you know, both of us are most likely doing is, you know, we partner to mitigate that risk. We partner with people that do have lots of experience. So how do you go about finding people that you would want to partner with and raise capital for deals that they're doing?
Again, I think it's just pretty straightforward, just by putting yourself out there and what everyone always talk about, just being yourself. I think along the journey, I found mentors and business partner. And but I didn't put myself out there by going attending events, like the Real Estate Guy radio show events, or you know, multifamily conference, MFincon in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, saw
best
that one.
Best ever, or Race Fest. So just, you know, constantly putting yourself out there, eventually you will be able to connect with people who, you know, share the same mission and value as you do. You know, you might not see eye to eye with each other at first, but you know, I think those are the people that's going to be able to help you, is to the people who can complement your skill set.
Definitely. That's awesome, man. Well, it's been great to hear your story. The last thing I'd like to finish with is just really shine the spotlight on you and get to hear some of your proudest accomplishments, whether that's in real estate or in sales, or just things that you're really happy and thankful for.
Yeah, sure. For me, I think when you talk about career-wise, one thing that I will never, it's always going to stay in my mind forever is being able to win $50,000 working at LoopNet. So back in the day when I worked at LoopNet, I would say I put in like 10 to 12 hours a day. And I even took the work home. That's how serious I was, because CoStar acquired LoopNet, and the CEO of CoStar, Nate Florence, he threw us this big incentive. First place gets $100,000, and top five gets something. I won second place overall, and that's how I won that $50,000. So that's definitely going to stay in my mind forever. But if you're talking about personally, you know, I'm just grateful for being myself, you know, being a giver. I think the more I give, the more people, the more God surround me with good people, you know. And I think it's just good karma, and I'm grateful and thankful for all the friendship and connections I've built throughout the years, not just domestically but internationally as well, you know. I
have a lot definitely of
strong connections where I can just call and they'll just provide a home, a shelter for me to live. So it's, I think that's more important than, you know, making money to me. So that's something that I'm very grateful for.
Yes, sir. Well, man, Jim, it's been great to have you today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure as well.
Like and subscribe below. A new episode will air every Tuesday at 7 a.m. Are you looking for more content? Visit our website, biggerpictureholdings.com. And remember, money really does grow on trees.